Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cream City Dreams,
the podcast where we interview incredible women, inspiring women, women who connect other women. And boy, is this woman today a connector.
She is three-dimensional for sure. Probably four-dimensional. How many dimensions
I don't know.
Are there to Lauren Feaster? Let's just say it. First of all, so many people nominated her, and I can see why. She is the epitome of what it means to be a connector in Milwaukee to support the bigger dream for our city and for the women in it.
Yeah, she's incredible. Let's not introduce too much. Let's just let her speak for herself. Don't want to miss this. And if you know somebody who needs to hear this, who may benefit from a membership with Professional Dimensions, please share this podcast.
Absolutely. And if you're a member, let us know in the comments and on our posts. You know,
yeah,
give us a taste of who's out there that already is a member of Professional Dimensions that wants to be loud and proud.
All right. Lauren Feaster, listeners.
Thanks so much for being here.
Absolutely.
We're so glad that you're here. I wanted to just say that you're probably the most requested guest we've had. We're in our third season. That's 100% sure. I mean, true. I think Derek Mosley has been mentioned a few times, but we don't interview men. let's see. Cheryl Kniezel from Meaningful Marks suggested that you were the dreamy woman in Milwaukee that we should interview. And then Cecilia Gore from the Brewers Foundation reiterated that. Oh. And the ladies from Let's Talk Women were on the on the podcast. And so they talked about the important role that Professional Dimensions has played in their coming together. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And then there was one more. Who was it? Oh, Stephanie Melnick from Melnick and Melnick will be on this season. And so we're just so glad that we got in your calendar, because we have loved hearing from other people what you've been up to, but can't wait to dive in to hear more about what you do. So with that, why don't you tell us what makes you so dreamy, Lauren? My goodness.
No pressure there at all from hearing from all of these dreamy people. But my name is Lauren Feaster. I'm the proud CEO of Professional Dimensions. And as many folks know, Professional Dimensions is one of a few women's business associations that's here in the city. We were founded in the late 70s by women who really wanted to come together to advocate for themselves and saw value in their collective challenges and saw collective opportunity in coming together. And I think I always start with that history piece, because I feel like when you have organizations like this where values and your strategic approach is passed down from generation to generation, it really matters how you start. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really inspired by that. I'm really inspired by the idea of women. It was three of them, right? And I'm really inspired by that small group, right, that can come together and make the change that they want. I really feel like when all is said and done and we look at what success looks like, it's about people having the autonomy, the power, the strength, the courage to come together and create the reality they want. Mm. I'm very optimistic and idealistic. I'm also very real in that there's always going to be a struggle. And especially for women, we're so empathetic, we're so present, we're always going to see an opportunity for something to be better. And so Professional Dimensions' mission and vision is all around uniting women in relentless pursuit of better. And so that means that we're constantly struggling with what better looks like. We have to remain inclusive and diverse in order to have perspectives that aren't ours to even know what better looks like for everyone. And so we wrestle with that. We expose ourselves to different types of programming and training and experiences and service and philanthropy that gives us a better picture of what better looks like. And then we unite to make it happen. And that will never get old. That is life. And so I love that I get to do that and struggle with women that I care about and that I'm getting to know and who are leading in all sectors, across all areas and identities within the city. So that's in a nutshell of what we do and what I'm excited about.
Yeah, that's beautiful. When did that dream start for you? Mm-hmm. The optimism and hopefulness and.
Yeah. So to be honest, I don't know if you all are familiar. There's an AmeriCorps program called City Year. And I was a part of bringing that to the city maybe 12 years ago when we got started or so. I might be off a little bit, but they unapologetically frame so much of the work around idealism. And while I don't think it all came from there, I think that it was a place where I was really affirmed in my idealism. Mm-hmm. It just grew my passion for like working on teams and working with people. So I did, you know, throughout high school, lots of team sports. So I always put a plug in, do it, you know, individual things as well, but it's always good to have team experiences. Mm-hmm. And then kind of moving through college, I went to UW Madison. I was in the marching band on the drum line for 2 years. And so you talk about just like team and the idea of putting kind of yourself aside for the sake of a larger mission has always been something that's been inspiring and that I've loved being a part of. You know, it's like individually you look super goofy with just the outfit and you're like walking down the street by yourself. Your pants are like high waters and it's like ugly. And it's like uniforms that have been passed down, faded. You have a hat. It's like individually, it's like trash. But when you put 200, 250 of these people all with that same uniform, all with your hem 5 inches from the ground, it's so crispy and so amazing. And like, it's just a visual that you're like, holy crap. And I mean, a lot of people use that music, you know, metaphor and thinking about team too, like the idea of, you know, a solo player, which can be incredible, but what it sounds like when you just bring in the whole, you know, the whole band, the whole orchestra, like you see all, you hear all the pieces come together. And that's like so much of, there's so many themes around that, that just, I think relate to what I want and what I'm trying to have happen by way of professional dimensions.
Yeah. That's so cool. I love that metaphor so much.
Yeah.
You really painted a fun picture there.
Yeah.
So you worked for City Year itself, or does City Year place people out in the community?
Yeah. So City Year is a national nonprofit. And when we came to Milwaukee in 2010, we started off being kind of placed around several MPS schools. Okay. And so you kind of, so when I came in, actually, there was one school that they hadn't completed. And so that was kind of my, I went to school for pre-med. So I had really no business doing City Year. It was a gap year program. Okay. And I was still trying to decide what I wanted to do. Medical school isn't something you just kind of pop in and try out. And yeah, so I wanted to be very confident about going there. And in the interim, it's always recommended that you get some practical experience. So I was like, CNA, not my thing, you know, let me try EMT. Any kind of patient experience was the goal. So I was an EMT while also doing City Year, and City Year was it's a 1 year. I actually served in the program. So
okay.
It's a 1 year commitment. I was in a school on the South Side. My major was Spanish. So it ended up working out perfectly because the school was like 98-99% Spanish speaking. So for me, it was like the appeal to my parents at that time was like, hey, I'll get to solidify and practice, you know, my Spanish and being of service to a community. I was also very curious about our public school system, which was a big part of what actually pushed me more into the education space than the medicine space. Cause I was curious to just learn for myself what was really going on. Why were the disparities there? I went to Mequon Public Schools. And so to have such a different reality, maybe 15, 20 minutes away from each other, you know, like, it's just like a tale of two cities, like really, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there were a lot of reasons I did that. And I'm so glad I did, to just learn firsthand and just be exposed to it, so that I could kind of pull my own opinions, not political, not whatever, just say what is really going on here. So that was kind of the school side. Then I had the medicine side, and was just kind of, it was a year of learning, you know? So that's kind of what pushed me in that space. And then City Year was kind of like that. It was the space, I think, that I got to process. And so I was at that school and then moved into I was in the office after that, you know, training, evaluation, program manager, director, lots of different nonprofit roles, with it being kind of a startup here in the city.
Mm. Those were the glory days of AmeriCorps, I remember.
Right. Because none of us could get jobs. So you had a lot of, like super potentially, with all respect, but like maybe overqualified folks that were like,
I'll work for minimum wage. 15 grand a year. And
exactly.
Totally.
Did you do AmeriCorps, Shelley? I can't remember.
I did an AmeriCorps program, yeah. And then I ran one. During those years, I was running an AmeriCorps program, CapCorps, Capuchin Franciscan Volunteer Corps. So I got the benefit of those years when it was like everybody was doing the programs, there were no jobs. Like, oh, you're a great recruiter. Like, well, I think it's the economy.
Yeah. Both can be true.
Maybe. But I love the, I don't know that we've had anybody on the show whose dream was facilitated by national service. And, you know, service programs are an amazing way for people to explore their, you know, like you're saying, like I was curious and wanted to learn. And so here's a chance to use my Spanish and learn about the education system, figure out if I really want to invest $800 million in med school or whatever it is.
Yeah. Somewhere around there.
That's really cool. So I'm guessing that so much of that informs your daily work life now, like those skills.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And service is, I'm glad that you pulled that out because that is, that's the leading component, service. Mm-hmm. At City Year, we used to say that, you know, just like you have a freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, senior year, you should have a City Year, and that should just be a part of, that should just be a part of everybody's, you know, growing up, upbringing, you know, your rite of passage, if you will. Yep. It's that you take that just as seriously as you would take any other year of your life, to really be immersed in your community, understand the needs and understand how your talents and skills match with the needs of your community, and understand that there's still ways to provide for yourself and, you know, make a livable wage and beyond, while also still caring for your community, and actually that you caring for your community and being of service makes you a better person, like a better leader. And I believe that that's true. It teaches you how to, between that and being a EMT, I was just thrown into everything, you know, like, and you learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot of humility. You realize that you don't know everything. You learn to work with different people and different identities. You learn to problem solve very quickly. And it's just like so many skills that I'm like, people go to, I don't know how many professional trainings and conferences and workshops and read how many books to just, you know, to learn some of those things that we learned super early, in our lives by just serving. You get to manage a team right away. You get to be an ambassador right away, like elevator speed, all of that, you know? And so I just think that it's such an important opportunity, that people should take advantage of if they can. And I do realize the privilege that comes with that, like being able to take a year off and not make any money, really. I do realize the privilege that comes with that, and still think that it's something that we should all seek, or that could be better incorporated into like what's expected of anybody entering whatever they do after high school or after college. But yeah, so much of that has shaped where I am now, because I mean, it allowed me to pivot from the medical world and say, what's really going on here? And what I was finding while I was working as an EMT is that it was much deeper than kind of your traditional like medicine or medical emergencies, I should say. There were things that were driven by poverty, miseducation, that eventually manifested as health issues because they had gone ignored, or there was no or limited education about how to care for yourself, and therefore then became a health crisis. And so when you look at that, you're like, holy crap. But then you look at the system and you're like, why aren't there more preventative measures? Why isn't there more education and intentionality around this? We do it, you know, we see it with women and like the mammograms and different things like that, that kind of have their big pushes, but just health education generally. And I was finding myself more in the back of that ambulance, educating and talking with people and leveling with people and having difficult conversations about the future of their health, than it was like, oh, they're bleeding out. Like, pass the scalpel, you know, like it's like not like a, it's not like a TV, you know, it's not like the medicine. It's really was just the education. And when you think about how our physicians are like overloaded and have so many patients and so many things to do, it's like we do need those people to stand in the gap in that regard and help folks find their own autonomy and ownership over their situations. And I was just seeing a lot of that. And that really pushed me to say, like, this is an education issue. I'm not convinced that what I'm seeing right now is health related, you know, like health emergency, I should say. It's mental. It's about people's confidence. It's about your confidence when you go to the doctor to even ask the questions, right? Or to just leave with what they say. Or it's about representation and your ability to share things that you've maybe done in your family without being embarrassed about them being the way that you've navigated tough spaces or to share or to know what things look like in different people. And, you know, it's all these things. And so that's what pushed me kind of away from the medicine space and into the education space, which then started that like snowball of, after City Year, I went to teach for America because that was an opportunity for me to do fundraising. And that fundraising piece is kind of what got me more exposed to like our local business community. Teach for America has historically had a super strong and dedicated board that is able to think about education from just beyond the teacher student relationship, but from like a systemic relationship. And that really kind of sparked my thinking about systems change and how we approach situations with that mindset, which then felt like an easy transition to professional dimensions where I get to work with women who are leading to say, how do we really assess where you are and where you fit in the system? Because we all have a hand in all of these issues. We all have it. We're all responsible for the state of healthcare. We're all responsible for the state of education. It's decisions we're making from how we vote to who we employ to pay equity that is that are linked to the challenges. And it's all about everybody finding kind of their lever to pull. So long story long, that's the how I think City Year kind of set me on that trajectory to thinking about autonomy and thinking about the role we all play in making our region better.
Yeah. Really cool. It's interesting to see how, I mean, as I look at the professional dimensions, you know, values and and your mission, you know, that health is a, like health is wrapped up in that somehow, right? You know, connections being so important for health.
Yeah, the website, your website, I don't know if that was you that put that together, but it is a beautiful website. And it's so obvious how, or the importance that you place on inclusivity and all of the dimensions of a woman, right? Not just the career part, but all the parts of being a woman, which I'm hearing from what you're saying now, but that is echoed on your site. And that's just so thoughtful and so intentional. And I can imagine that that is what draws your members, is that inclusivity.
Yeah, I hope so. I appreciate that because we get a lot of like, so it's myself and another young lady that's the staff of Professional Dimensions.
Oh, right? Wow.
We're hustling. And I mean, it's such a, it's beautiful and it's challenging because it's like so much of what's learned. It's that city, it's that grind, that AmeriCorps grind, right? It's like when it's driven by, it's driven by volunteers and what you're able to learn about somebody from being kind of like in the trenches, you know, with them and navigating challenges with them is so much a part of what we want our members to experience and learn. And so that's why I'm like smiling because I'm like the website, we've gotten all types of feedback about the website and we're constantly working on it. But that is, I'm so glad that you landed on that. And that is something that I think sets us apart is we're very intentional about every dimension that a woman brings. I think the through line in a lot of what women experience from the sense of being marginalized is essentially like folks not valuing women. When you look at pay equity, right? It's not paying women what they're worth because there's not an understanding that all of these things that we bring to the table actually make us the strong talent that we are. It's the idea that microaggressions around our emotions, right, have kept us from speaking up or from allowing our intuition to guide our moves because we're told that that has no place in the workplace or that it's not professional when really those are that's the magic that should be valued in women and in women leadership. And so we try to do that in the name, as you mentioned, the idea of professional dimensions. While that's always been our name, when I came in, we had a lot of conversation about it because professional, the word, has been used to marginalize and exclude folks on all levels. And even among women, it's like your emotions aren't professional. Your hair isn't professional. Your outfit's not professional. You know,
your hoops aren't professional.
Your approach isn't professional. Yeah. Like that conversation, this conversation about how you're struggling with balance in your life, not professional for the workplace, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or, you know, the way the word has been used. And so it's like, how are we deciding what professional is, first of all? And then in the dimensions piece, how are we honoring and celebrating every dimension that a woman brings to the table? Not just the ones that look like they fit into the system as it already is, but like what are those dimensions that haven't been considered yet or aren't celebrated in the same way that allow us to kind of shift people's understanding of the value of a woman, and especially in a leadership position, the decisions she's positioned to make and just caring for people, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm glad that you pulled that out, because we do want to be intentional about that. And we want to be intentional about how we are affirming the dimensions of our members.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. And laughter is a part of your mission.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
I was like, sign me up. How do I get in? That's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. But really, how do you get into professional dimensions?
Yeah. So it's very straightforward. Everybody who joins Professional Dimensions has a sponsor. And that's not like a sponsor that's keeping people out. It's a sponsor so that when you get in, because I told you it's just me and another woman, we don't want you to get lost. We don't want you to get lost. So the sponsor is someone who kind of is like a mentor. Mm. Like, and we talk about mentorship and sponsorship. That's really intentional. Like we talk about when you look at kind of the reports for how to support women, it's like letting them have a sponsor or a mentor in their corner that helps them navigate situations, speaks their names in rooms when they're not there, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So we're intentional about using the word sponsor in that light. A sponsor just fills out a form and it'll say like, Shelly, like, this is why I think she's awesome. This is why I'd be excited about having her here. This is why, these are words that I think describe her, you know, maybe 15 minutes. And then your name goes before the board. And again, this is, a traditional practice where it allows our board members to see who all of our new members are. So like, we know who their names are. We know who they are. Like, we can look out for them. And then our board approves. And I think that's also like when you get that email, that's like our board, you know, approved and welcome to Professional Dimensions. That's like a really important feeling and part of the process. And then you would be invited to kind of log in, pay your dues. So our dues are $400 annually, $100 when you're brand new, just kind of as an administrative, get you in the door fee. And then from there, you're able for the rest of your life to decide, you know, hopefully you stay on and you find value. But sometimes there's things that happen and people are like, okay, I'm not having time to engage right now. I'm going to take a break for a couple years. But when you come back, you just pick up where you left off. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be something that's, I tell our members that we want to be, we know that we're not going to be everything to every member, and that's fine, but we do want to make sure every member has everything. Mm. So whether that means connecting you to another organization or individual or whatever, based on what you're finding that you need, but also we want to pull on you if there's a type of service that we want to execute together. Mm-hmm. Our charitable fund and our belief about philanthropy also sets us apart. We have a whole board and charitable fund that's a separate EIN, separate kind of space where we can raise money and pool our money to support organizations that are elevating the self sufficiency and independence of women and girls. And so that's something that we've done for years, over 1.6 million that we've donated in our time of just community volunteers. This Thursday, we have our Imprint Award, which is our annual fundraising award, which is beautiful because again, it's all volunteer driven, which is beautiful and comes with its challenges, but people are cutting their teeth and learning how to do this. And that mm-hmm. is just, that is so cool to me, that this group of volunteers comes together and executes a whole gala. We'll have over 300 folks at the Pfister raising money for Nia Amani Family Inc., which is a shelter, a long-standing shelter for women who have kids 5 and under, who really foster the independence of the women that are staying with them, so that they can be independent when they exit. So it's like basically they're throwing a whole gala for an organization, right? Mm-hmm. And none of that money, they're all volunteers. So it's really going to the organization. They also do something really unique that I always have to shout out, because I don't know if a lot of people know, but we have a whole gallery. It's at Alverno College. And every year, in lieu of like a, you know, a traditional plaque that you give your award recipients, because we honor trailblazing women at this event, we commission art from a woman artist in the city. And so she makes one piece for each award winner that's kind of based on her getting to know these women.
That's cool.
And then, and then makes a piece for the gallery. So you can go to the gallery and see kind of the story of our 42 years of women's art.
So cool.
That is really, is it a different artist each year or?
Yeah, it's a different artist. We do kind of like a RFP and a committee comes together and selects an artist. And just hearing the artist's stories is just like amazing. The woman that we're honoring this year. So we're honoring two winners, Joanne Sabir and Dr. Chris Rapella. And then we'll be honoring Linda Summers Herzog, and she's an artist. And she has this amazing story about being kind of the first. She works with metal, you know, pouring hot metal to create sculptures. It was very like male dominated. Women weren't allowed in the space. Mm-hmm. And like, she talks about just her being kind of a trailblazer, even in that regard of going lifting and dumping, and other young artists coming after her, seeing that she had kind of created those lanes. And she talks about the piece that she created for the artist. And so it's just really empowering to see what women have been doing for such a long time.
Very cool.
The way that we've transitioned that to really honor diverse winners. So it's just a really cool event.
Yeah.
And we do it every year in March. And it's to raise money for a women's organization.
So beautiful. Yeah. How many members are there total these days?
So consistently, we're always around 300 members. I feel like that's been, from what I heard, I did join in COVID. And so I feel like we're just not who we were before that. And I don't think that that's a bad or a good thing. I think that that's just, we've become who we've needed to become.
Mm.
But from what I do understand, that's been kind of like the number. It's been between 300 and 400, I think, consistently, who are active every year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a larger network that's closer to like 550 women who have been involved, mm-hmm. maybe might not be for the year, but mm-hmm. I like to call them out too, because they're there. Mm-hmm. They might not be active, but like, if you needed to give them a call, or if you were joining because you wanted access to that network, they're going to pick up the phone for a Professional Dimensions woman. Right. So
yeah.
I think it's important to include that, you know, the full group in that.
Yeah. So if somebody joins, mm-hmm. they get access to a membership database. What else is a part of being a member?
Yeah, a lot. So one, for it depends on what you're most inspired by, which we've been seeing kind of like people are joining for different reasons. Mm. Some folks are like, I want to get work done. Some people are like, yeah, you know, like I kind of care about my own professional growth and network, but I really want to like get with women who want to change something, you know, whether that's like looking in the political field or get out the vote type things, or I do want to convene a group around education and figure out how we advance equity in education. Like, they come to the table wanting to meet people who are going to help them outside of their maybe day-to-day
mm-hmm.
figure out how to change Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have people who come in and kind of looking for like a mentor, or even looking to serve as a mentor. So that's another group that I feel like people join and want to get out of it. The other side is kind of just like connection to a mission that really resonates with them. Mm-hmm. So some people might come and say like, I don't have a ton of time to go to everything, but I stand by the leadership of our board, of our CEO, and I know how important it is to have my name associated with the work that we're doing and how that builds power.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say the other side, which I feel like what I get most excited about coming from like a heavy learning and kind of academic space is just like our programming. So we do at least three programmings a month. We have a consistent schedule that's been around since long before I was there, where we do like a second Wednesday lunch, a fourth Wednesday dinner, and then we do a third Thursday program, which isn't super creative name, but the third Thursday of every month is just like a happy hour at like a women-owned business or like a new business.
Mm.
And that's like super casual, where we invite folks who aren't members and anybody can kind of come, and we just pick a spot and I'll just go hang out, you know, carry your own tab, have a good time, relax, get to know people. So, and then we have a couple larger events like the one coming up Thursday. Mm-hmm. We do an ideation summit in the fall, which is really about inclusivity.
Mm.
And we did that this past year at the Milwaukee Athletic Club, and we had Tunde Oyunayin, who's big in the Peloton world. She came out and did an awesome speech panel. So yeah, the programming is like our opportunity to network women and to allow them to connect, but also give them a topic to connect around. And so our membership comes up with different things that might be of interest. Like, we want to talk about women in tech. We want to talk about inclusivity and diversity and ableism, or we want to talk about age. That's something that I think is super unique to PD, is that we have people who are at the table in their 30s and in their 80s and equal participants, equal say, and being able to, you can imagine how powerful it was to share space with these women, especially with all that was happening with Roe v. Wade, and having sitting at the table with women who were on the front lines or who were involved.
Yeah.
Now sitting and being able to process that with them, I felt like was very powerful. Mm-hmm. Being able to hear and see the way that some of these cycles, you know, repeat themselves, and say, well, how do we get a little bit more strategic, or how do we do something a little bit differently so that we are making some lasting change? Mm-hmm. So that those are all benefits too, I think, having access to those types of spaces. Mm-hmm. And then there are like some of the more fun things, like we're trying to relaunch our special interest groups, where we've had women with special interests come together, whether that's like an investment club or planting, going to eat together, or a movie club, film club, whatever it is, like women coming together around specific interests, mm-hmm. and able to build more relationships in that way. So it's really, I also say, like, if you are doing this type of work, DEI work in for your job, or, you know, within a space that's it's kind of more required, PD feels like a space where you can kind of stay accountable to those things that you commit to. Or if you go to like a workshop and it's really good, and then, you know, you take your notes and you put them in your book, and you might not revisit it, PD is like at least there every month to say, like, let's talk about it. So you can at least go back and remember to open that book up and look at what you committed to, look at what you were curious about. You know, it's just a reminder, you know, you'll get an email or something and be like, okay, this is the mission of this organization. This is what I need to remember to do, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I like it too.
Places of authentic connection is just such an important piece right now, you know, because connection is so difficult, and we're fooled into thinking that our online connections are actually connections, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and we heard from, was it Cecilia that told us about your Black women Zoom?
Oh, did she? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just the like informality of bringing people together who need each other and need spaces where they can just get, be known, be seen.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That emerged from just, you know, not long after I had joined Professional Dimensions, the Jacob Blake shooting had happened in Racine. And I was personally feeling like, you know, the pressure of being new to a leadership role, processing that myself as a Black person generally, and then as a Black woman, and then as a CEO of an organization. Right. And so it's like, there's a little bit of like a, I don't know, like a grieving process for your people when incidents like that happen, that you're, while also being kind of responsible for telling the masses, like how we as an organization, that I'm still learning, right?
Right.
Because we had gone through so much of this especially since George Floyd, of like organizations speaking out and having a statement. And it was like an incident and then a statement and then an incident and then a statement. And really just feeling like it's more than a statement. Your statement should be like a reflection of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be something that you have to work that hard to craft, because you're simply telling people what you believe and what you're doing. But having been new to the organization, not having like a ton of a ramp up time, you know, a couple weeks, like I don't know that I can speak to everything that we're doing or not doing. And so I was realizing on my own too, that like, we probably have members here in our organization who might not be feeling seen or heard, mm-hmm. or have a space to collectively process what's going on. And so we created this space with the support of our full board to say, yeah, absolutely. And actually like pulling out spaces to be able to see people for their different identities doesn't tear you apart, which was the perception. And quite honestly, some of the pushback that I even got from members of like, well, we've worked so hard to come together, like pulling out the Black women is going to pull us all apart when we've been working to just all be together. And I'm like, or it's going to affirm them, mm-hmm. and allow them to show up even better, mm-hmm. when we are all together. That actually lifts us all, mm-hmm. you know. But I love being in a space to have that conversation. I love being in a space where people will pick up the phone and call the office and say, like, I agree with this, or I don't agree with this, or like, let's talk about it. Because to me, that's the type of space that I want to be in. That's where growing happens. Because I don't want us all who agree in a space like that's. I'm not interested in that. I love Professional Dimensions because it's everybody. But the thing that we have in common is that we want to listen to each other, mm-hmm. and we want to grow and we want to be better. Mm-hmm. And so that's to me, that's such a powerful space to be in.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, it's clear that your hand in crafting that the thoughtful, intentional, generative is the word that comes to mind for me. Like, this feels really generative. And what is so desperately needed in the world right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So whenever you all want to fill out your, you know.
Will you be our sponsor?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that was going to be one of my questions too is, does, because so we started this podcast, not really knowing what we were doing, but just wanting to meet and interview some really neat women and learn from them. And one of the things we hope we do for our listeners is inspire them to see that living dreams doesn't have to be not that it's easy, but it doesn't have to be difficult, right? It's one step after the other. It's a lot of people don't know what they're doing when they start, but they just start. And so, I'm thinking about our listeners who may not necessarily be in professions yet or consider themselves professional in that particular dimension, like in the career dimension. Would they be do you have to get a paycheck to be
not so we say career women, and this is where it's like, I encourage everybody to kind of look at what we do, look at what we provide, and then decide if that works for you. Some people will say, oh, like, you know, I have a daughter that's like in college, and I'm like, sure, if she's into this, you know, but like, our programming is still going to be probably targeting, like, you know, the issues that are coming up for people who are in their maybe like 30s, right? 30s to 50s, right? Mm-hmm. So I would say that doesn't mean that others aren't welcome, but it's just something that they should consider when they go, right? Like, it's we're kind of focusing on the makeup of our group as it is, but as it transforms, we're transforming. Mm-hmm. I personally find a lot of value in that. I know I've been described in the past as a little more precocious, but I loved sitting in the training. We had one about estate planning, right? And I'm like, I'm nowhere near there in my life, but I value, it was fine. I felt like I belonged, first of all, in the space just because of how I was treated and how, what our culture is. But even though that might not have been the first topic that I selected, it was valuable to be there. And it was valuable to hear how people are processing that and thinking about those realities in their lives.
Sure.
So that's why I say it from a sense of content, but all are welcome who find value in kind of what we're providing, you know, and I reckon, and there are different folks are in different places in their journey, and they might want to say like, oh, I'm going to wait a little bit before I get here. Or, but I do want it to fit for what folks want. Sure. I want to be as transparent about what it is, so that people know like what to expect. And I've even had this conversation as we've grown, we've tripled our members who are women of color, who identify as women of color since I've been here. And so I was real with them in the beginning too, because like they'll show up and be like, oh, this is a very white space. And it's like, yeah, that's who we are, because that's who we are. And it's not something where I'm like, oh, this isn't who we are, so come. But when I feel like when you're transparent, then people know what to expect. They come in, and then that's how they find they attach to it, because they're like, oh, I know what I'm coming to, and I know what it's becoming. I know what we're in progress of. And so that's what I would say, whether that comes with career. There are a lot of women who are creating their own businesses, or who are entrepreneurs, or who are working in corporate spaces or nonprofit spaces. I actually value the diversity across sector, because I think that there are a lot of organizations that kind of stick within your sector. The lawyers are in the lawyer association. The dentists are in the dentist associations. Mm-hmm. I like having that diversity, and Professional Dimensions has always been very intentional about that diversity, because as women, we're navigating so many of the same things. They just kind of show up differently in some of our different spaces. So that's what I would say. And that's, again, why we do the sponsorship piece, right? So that you can talk to the sponsor has to be an active member, with hopes that they be able to really break it down and give you like the reality of what's going on. What are the challenges that we're navigating? What are the beautiful things that we got going on, so that people can make an informed decision, and know that they're going to be welcome no matter what. They're going to be welcome. You're going to feel like you belong. You're going to feel seen. And sometimes the topic might make sense. Sometimes it might not to you. But really the goal is connection. Mm-hmm. So I have to remind people about that too. I'm like, we could be in the coolest venue and have the coolest topic and the coolest speaker, but the goal is for you all to know each other so that you can activate change and be there for each other. So, so yeah, I like the transparency so that there's no surprises and for folks to actually do a little bit of the research and decide if it's something that they want to do.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
How do people find out if their friends are in professional dimensions?
Yeah, so great question. So we do on the website try to update every quarter at least, if not, if we can get to it every month, a list of like active members. Okay. So I think on that, on the membership page, when you, there's like a button where you can select to fill out a sponsorship application for someone. You can, there's a button where if you're like, I don't know anyone in PD, but I want to be in, that'll go to our recruitment. Our VP of recruitment, who will try to pair you with someone, help you get coffee and learn more. And then I think that there's a list. There's also a button that's like, hey, here's a list of some active members so you can kind of scroll through. But we would love to do a better job, I think, of just making sure folks know who's in PD and shouting them out. So something that we can work on.
Yeah.
The two of you.
Right.
Well, maybe in 2025.
In our board. Yeah. It's all about activating our awesome board. The women on our boards, are, it's a working board. So the women on our boards are giving up their time and their talent to really keep it moving. And so the fact that we're still here and strong off of the efforts of our volunteers just shows the dedication of the women that are involved.
Yeah.
And it's an honor to work with them.
That's so cool. So cool. All right. Are we ready for, we have a speed round here at the end.
Oh, okay. All right.
If you're up for that.
Sure.
Megan, you want to start it out?
Sure. So you talked a little bit about the marching band and how wonderful it is to be in a group, but I'm just curious if you were tooting your own horn, if you were playing by yourself in that band, do you have a hidden talent? Is there something people don't know about you that, we can shine a light on?
A lot of people know this, but I'm a DJ.
Oh,
a lot of people know that already, but DJ Lolo, I've been at a lot of, I love that. It's just a way for me. It's a way to engage people. It's a way to break down, you know, the things that keep us apart. And I love seeing people to come together around music. So that's something that when I'm just meeting people, they don't know, but
yeah,
that's a,
where do people, Lolo, L-O-L-O.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Where do people find you? How do we?
I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I'll get texts from like my dad, like someone hit me up looking for you. Cause PD keeps me so busy. I try to do as much as I can. But I do like a lot of events, the Let's Talk Women event. I did that. I DJed that event. I love doing like women events. Yeah. I've done a little bit of everything from corporate to schools, to lessons, to whatever. It's nothing I ever wanted to be, but in the spirit of service, it was kind of a role that I always was given, like here, do the music.
Yeah.
And it evolved into like a real kind of side job, I guess you could call it.
That's awesome. Do you DJ with, oh no, I got to remember Nicole's DJ name. DJ Mommy. Is that what her kids?
I don't know if I know DJ.
Nicole Acosta.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We've met each other in the DJ space.
Yeah.
For sure,
I think that might have been her answer to this question. Too.
Lots of great women
in the
DJ space. Shauna is like how I got linked to, I do the pregame for the Bucks sometimes. All kinds of little stuff.
Yeah, small walkie strikes again. Okay, here's an idea. Exactly. Let me just give you this though for I feel like your members could get into this. Dance party that starts at 7. So yeah, we can be home can in bed that. by 10.
Amen. Listen, I have a 5-year-old. I'm like, I am here for the daytime dancing.
Absolutely. I have a neighbor across the street, a good friend, and we're going to go to Mad Planet and just see if they'll let us open early. They can do their late night. They can do their like
they
dancing.
Should. Tell them you got a DJ. Say like, we got a couple DJs, you know.
That'd be a great bumper sticker.
Open
I opened Mad Planet.
There you go.
Oh, that's great. All right. So hidden gem in Milwaukee, you know, whether it's a place to eat, to shop. Okay. What is a hidden gem?
Hidden.
People know it.
It might be hidden to some, but it shouldn't be. But I love the Sherman Phoenix. I love Truman and Funky Fresh. That's a go-to. What else could be hit? Oh, okay. I don't know if you all are familiar with True School. But True School, it is kind of hidden in a little bit. It's in the Grand Avenue Mall, right by that TJ Maxx.
Yeah.
There's like a TJ Maxx and a Foot Locker, I think. And there's like those stairs that go down in the middle of the mall. Mm-hmm. True School is an amazing nonprofit that really just affirms hip hop culture, from dance to music to art to visual art. They even do environmental thinking with like hydroponics and all kinds of stuff. And it's like an after school program and like hip hop movement. And like their work is brilliant and known across the nation, but it's kind of like hidden, like kind of literally hidden because it's down there, you know.
Yeah.
But Fidel and Shalina are doing an incredible job with the students. And they do marketplaces and all kinds of cool stuff. So I would really encourage people to check that out. It's an organization City Year actually shared, it was a part of that building, that ASQ. You know how you can get like all around in that with you can stay inside of that building.
Yeah.
And walk
yeah.
Blocks. And so walking kind of like on the way to the food court when it was still the Grand Avenue Mall and now Third Street, right? But they're right there. And I think sometimes hidden from plain sight, but doing really, really powerful work.
Thank you for that. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll put a link to that in our show notes for sure.
So
yeah, absolutely.
Is there a member of Professional Dimensions mm-hmm. that you can think of that's just doing something that we should also know about? Like just something super.
Oh my
super,
gosh.
I mean, they all are.
Come on. Yeah.
Not a favorite. We won't call him a favorite.
Oh man. I will, for an easy one, I'll just go with my board president because she is my board president, but Katie Dillo. She is the CFO over at the Marcus Performing Arts Center, Marcus Center for the Performing Arts. It's one of those. and why I want to lift her up is because we talk about, I think often we celebrate these kind of like big grandiose things that folks might do, kind of above and beyond their work and, don't think enough about actually how people are doing the work that they're doing. So like a CFO maybe doesn't sound like the most exciting job or outward facing role, but it's the way that she approaches it with a lens for equity, with a lens for involvement, helping people look at how money is spent and how that money is spent in communities where it needs to be spent to create a more equitable ecosystem. It's the little things that become the big things because you're understanding and leveraging your power in the spaces that you're in. And I think that that's something that I want us to even think about how we celebrate more, what you're doing with what you have versus like trying to take on some new thing to make some big splash. We'd be much more, I think, effective if folks really stood in their power and really assessed the areas where they already operate and thought about how they do things a little bit differently. And Katie does that in addition to running, to being a whole CFO, being a president of our organization. That's a bunch of volunteers. Her wanting to spend her time like that is amazing. So gotta shout out Katie Dillo for that.
Nice.
That's awesome. All right. When you're not, I get the sense that probably wherever you go, you network, but hopefully there are times when you don't network. And so sure. What does that look like? Where do you go when you need a little break from networking?
That's a good question. Home. No.
That is totally acceptable.
No, even there.
Yeah, no, you're like the locked bathroom.
Yeah, right. Seriously. Usually places early are pretty chill. Like I like the National Cafe. I like Wannable. There's a new place on King Drive called the Legacy Building. It's where the African American Chamber has their building. And they have a new like co-working space over there. I enjoy like usually before kind of like people start coming in before like the lunch rush. Most places around the city are pretty empty. And the good part about having only two folks working here is that the office is always empty. So a lot of places I can kind of dip and hide away. If there's like new restaurants popping up or things like that, I'll try to just go hang out and bring a laptop. I also enjoy like going to different, a lot of nonprofit organizations have spaces and especially after COVID, a lot of folks are working remotely. So sometimes just I'm on a lot of boards and stay pretty involved in that way. So sometimes just popping up at their offices and hanging out and there might be one or two staff members to talk to, but I like just popping up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got one more. There's a woman who's thinking about moving to Milwaukee and she's like, I could go Chicago. I could go Milwaukee. What do you say to her to what's your sales pitch for Milwaukee?
Listen, I describe Milwaukee as like the nation's speakeasy, right? Like you're not going to know, you don't know until you like know. And I would say, I like that you have access to, if you're talking about just a Chicago comparison, you can access, you have so much more access to a lot of the same things because there aren't waits, there aren't, you know, there's not chaos, there aren't people who are trying to be other people. It's like good old like Midwestern hospitality, diversity, lots and lots of events and ways to get to know the city. So that's my preference. And then I always say for Chicago people, it's like literally like you can get to Chicago quicker than you can get to Chicago and some of the suburbs of Chicago. And Milwaukee.
This is so true. This is true.
Yeah. True. So come on, like take advantage of this cost of living and, you know, get a space here, buy some fresh water. I feel like people are going to keep making their way this way with the way our environment is. But not to be a downer, but I think like it's just a great place. It's a place that you can really enact change. It's a place that you can run into the mayor at a coffee shop, right? Like you have access in Milwaukee and you can build in Milwaukee. So I always say start here at least. Go other places, but come back and figure out how you can continue to like uplift Milwaukee, even if your person isn't here, you know.
Mm-hmm. That needs to be on a t-shirt. Nation Speakeasy.
Yeah, I think so.
That's so great.
It's like you walk by, you don't know anything that's going on, and there probably are 7 o'clock p.m. dance parties going on.
Let us know about them walking by.
You're not gonna. It's not a space where you're gonna walk by and see everything. It's a place where you have to know which doors to open, and then you're like, you open it up, and you're like, where did this come from? Mm-hmm. Like, we have some beautiful architecture. We have a lot of really cool stuff, but you kind of gotta just hang around. Come to PE. We'll tell you everything.
Boom.
You need to know.
There we go.
Awesome. Last one is a woman that you'd nominate as a dreamy person in Milwaukee.
Oh man, there's so many cool people. let's see. I need to do my research because I don't want to pick people who have already gone or who are in the same train. But I would say our incoming president, Shanae Jenkins. I don't know if you've interviewed Dominique Samari yet.
She was just nominated by one of our greatest listeners.
The work that she does, she's just such a systems thinker. And she also did a whole like Women's History Month series for like the second or third year where she just highlighted. She worked with Cheryl. On that. Yeah.
I follow her on Instagram and I couldn't remember why, but that's it.
The things that she says are just, they're awesome. Raven Jemison from the Bucks. She's a transplant, as we like to call them, but she's doing some amazing things. She's releasing a book and it's kind of about like the cheat codes and like how to navigate, you know, how to, as a woman, as a person with different identities, how to navigate life. She's just a fun person. Let me see who else is really cool. Danielle Bly, if you haven't talked to her yet. Corporate We Energies, great story there. And just like a beautiful human as well. I got a whole list. I feel like we can go through our whole membership and just,
I got 350 people for you.
You know, yeah. Seriously,
how much time do we have?
Seriously,
that's great.
Yeah, those are some starters, but
that's awesome. Yeah, great. That's awesome. We'll get in touch with those folks for season 4. Yeah. In the meantime, people can find more about Professional Dimensions. Can you remind us what the website is?
Yes, it's www.professionaldimensions.org.
Okay.
Yep.
And do they follow? Are you active on any of the socials? Should they follow you on?
Yes, we are. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Instagram at PD Women. Okay. And yeah, Facebook and LinkedIn. I think you just type in Professional Dimensions and we'll pop up as an organization. Yeah. Awesome. Check us out.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I'm excited to get our sponsorship letters in, Shelly.
Yes, totally. Awesome. Totally. Awesome. We love to have you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. This definitely filled me up this morning. So thank you all for what you're doing.
Absolutely. You are very welcome. Thanks for being here.
That was awesome. That was awesome. Gosh. How inspiring is she?
Damn, she's powerhouse.
I didn't even mention the fact that she got the 40 under 40, but of course she did. you know?
Yeah.
What a gift to our city. What a gift Professional Dimensions is too, for all the ways they look, you know, hate to keep stating the obvious, but all the dimensions of a woman, right? It's not just, yeah, there's so many different parts that make up the whole here that we need to consider. And that sounds like exactly what they're doing. So,
yeah. Well, and I feel like for any women who are looking for a place to belong, a place where they can, you know, build friendship. I know that that's a tough thing in your young adult life and even middle age, right?
Midlife. Yeah.
To find people to really connect with in that way can be challenging. So any organization that provides some structure for that to happen is awesome. And then this bonus that it's like all about how do we make the city a better place for all of us, put our heads together, get that woman magic, put it to work.
Yeah. It really does sound like there's something for everyone. And if you don't see what you want there, you just create it. Right? You just create a committee and get people to join you. And it sounds like there's a lot of freedom there as well. Yeah, I often think about the whole idea of mentorship and sponsorship. I'm glad she talked about that because as a transplant myself who moved here in my, you know, early 30s, I don't know a lot of older women, you know, the friends I naturally gravitate towards now are the parents at my kids' school or neighbors who are mostly my age. So to find women, you know, who are willing to mentor, who, you know, who that's a part of their role in the organization is to mentor that's exciting for me because I think that's so important as women that we have mentors. So I'm super excited even to jump in just for that aspect of Professional Dimensions.
Right. Woo! I feel like the thing that is resonating for me about this season is people have access to people who can make dreams happen in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I feel like, it was relatively easy for us to get all the folks on the show that were on the show. And there are some powerhouses this season.
Serious powerhouses. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just love that about our city that you can find the people you need to find to build what you want to build or learn what you need to learn.
Yeah. Be who you want to be. I love. I agree completely. So we hope, listeners, that you have enjoyed our season of Dream Makers. We hope to be back with more dreamers in the city. And, you know, we're always thinking of new themes, new concepts for seasons. So if you've got ideas, if you've got other women that you think we need to hear from, we've been getting emails from you and we appreciate that. So thank you, listeners. It's fun to get those emails in our inbox when you have ideas and we're writing them all down. And, you know, we've said this before, but Shelley and I have 7 kids between us. So summer is kind of crazy. So that's going to be our downtime for Cream City Dreams. But we'll be back because there are more women we need to talk to.
Absolutely. So thanks for being with us and we'll see you on the flip side, Milwaukee.
Yeah, until then.
Keep on dreaming.
Keep on dreaming. Okay, listeners, we have but one request this week.
Who do you know that wants to hear this podcast? Would you send them a text with a link?
Someone out there needs this episode. Someone needs to be inspired.
Or maybe you really want to go to one of these events with one of your friends because connection's so important. Getting out and doing things. We can do that again.
Yes.
Text an episode to somebody that you want to reconnect with and invite them out.
Make it happen. Share the pod.